Take your Bible tonight to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, if you will. Open your Bible there. It's real easy to find. It's right after 1 Kings, so it's just simple as it can be. 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll turn there with us and we'll read some scripture and preach a little while and have choir practice, do a little cleaning. We'll go home and get another week going, all right? What a blessing. It's always good to have another week, all right? Always good to have another week, you know? That's for sure. All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. If you're there, let's begin there in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. It's a little monotonous. All right, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he calmly said, no, he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. We're going to leave off reading right there at verse 14. Now, I don't know how you are, okay? But this is just an amazing account in the Word of God. And I just to be honest with it, to me, the lives of Elijah and Elisha are just exciting to read about. And they're exciting to study and to see what God did with them. It stirs my soul to see how God worked in their lives and how he used them. And I can't read these words just going, oh, well, you know, man, it's exciting. And in our text, we see that the end of Elijah's life on this earth had come, all right? And it's interesting. Elijah knew it. Elisha knew it. The sons of the prophets knew it. It was going to be the end, you know, for him on this earth. May have been the worst kept secret of that day, all right? Because it seemed like everybody knew it and knew it was coming, all right? But I want to take this account, if I could, and just give you some help a little bit in obtaining God's blessing in your life. Now, we talk a lot about the blessing of God. We hear a lot about it, and Some people even talk about the second blessing. Some talk as if God never blesses them. And regardless of that, I believe most people would admit to having a desire for God's blessing on their life. I believe most of it. I believe you folks here want God's blessing, all right? And I want to say it. I believe you can have the blessing of God. I believe God wants to bless his children. I just believe that with all this within me. We see it again and again in the Word of God. He wants to do it. So if you want God's blessing, you can have it. But I think there's maybe three requirements that we ought to look at right here, all right? Just right here in this passage of Scripture, if you want God's blessing on your life, it requires at least three things. Number one, it requires your presence. Your presence. You've got to be there, all right? I believe Elisha wanted God's blessing. He wanted what Elijah had and some more, all right? And that was all given by the blessing of God. So he asked for it. Given that opportunity, Elijah came to him and said, you know, hey, ask what you will and I'll give it. And Elisha said, well, I just want a double portion of your spirit. Yeah. That wasn't an easy thing, but he said, all right, you can do it. But if you want to have and you want to get what you've asked for and what you want, then you've got to be in the right place. Amen. You've got to be in the right place. He said, you've got to be there and you've got to see me when I pass over, all right? When I'm taken away from you, you've got to be there. You've got to see it, all right? Now, Elijah had been trying to get him to stay somewhere else three times. But Elisha knew what was coming. He said, nah, I ain't going to do it. He said, don't matter what happens, I'm sticking with you. You can't get rid of me. Hey, if you want the blessing of God, it depends a great deal, I believe, on your presence. On your presence. Many, I think, miss the blessing of God because they're out of place. They're just not where they ought to be. I used to hear preachers say, man, you want to be under the spout where the glory comes out, all right? And however you want to say it, all right? But if you're not where you should be, you're not where you ought to be, you miss the blessing of God. And I believe numerous people have done that. You said, well, where do you think ought to be? I think part of it revolves around the home. I think part of it revolves around the home. Look, God instituted the home. He put us in families. The Bible said he put the solitary in families. He put you in the family he wants you to be in, and he placed you there. And the home is the vehicle, oftentimes, that brings God's blessing to many people, all right? The problem is a lot of people don't want to spend much time there. Let's go here, let's go there, let's go anywhere but home, all right? But I just found that home is a marvelous place to be. It's the place. It's a place to learn, to know, and appreciate the blessing of the family and the blessing of children. You find that in the home. You find that in the home. And a lot of people miss that blessing. They're out of place, all right? They're intent upon getting out of the home as quick as they can get out of it. They're intent upon staying away as much as they can. Don't understand that with me. 43 years ago this May, got married. I got married not so I could have somebody there when I came home to meet me, but I got married to somebody I wanted to live with and to be with. I didn't marry somebody, so, hey, I'm going out with the guys. I'll be honest, I'd had enough of the guys, all right? I was done with them. I mean, you know, okay, I see you once in a while, but you're not the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, you know? It's that home. And God gave us the home, and he wants us to be there. It's the place where you get some education. You get some education. God helped you, and God reveals some things to you if you be home where you ought to be, all right? Don't miss God's blessing because you're quick to leave home or you're slow in going home. Don't do it. Go home, all right? People get in trouble today because they get off work and they don't go home. They go somewhere else and hang out. Man, go home. Go home. Spend some time there. You said, preacher, I'm retired, and that's the only place I am. Good, you're in a good place. Good place. I believe God's blessings on the home. I believe God's blessings on the home. And you ought to take care of that. It ought to be a place where you're there and God's welcome. You ought to live like it. And Lord, we're glad you're here. And he ought not to be an intruder. He ought not to be, as he's pictured in Revelation chapter 3, outside knocking on the door trying to get in. He ought to be there. He ought to be a part of it. If you'll let him do that, you'll find God's blessing on your life. God, that vehicle of the home is the funnel where God puts the blessing on you, all right, and gives it to you. So don't be too quick to cut it off. Don't be too quick. There's some young people here tonight. Don't be too quick to cut your ties with mom and dad. Don't be too quick to get away. Don't be so quick, man. I just can't wait till I get out of here. I'm glad my parents didn't run me off. I'm glad they didn't say, all right, you got X, yeah, here you are. I've talked to several people that told me their parents told them, usually their dad said, all right, you're 18. Get out. You got 6 weeks. You got a few months, and you're out. You can't stay here. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think that's the right way to do it. Now, if you're 47 living at home, you might want to think about it. Unless you're there for a reason. Unless you're there for a reason, all right? Now, you know, unless you're there for a reason. I don't have a problem with that. Some people, you know, say, I don't want everybody around. Look, home's a wonderful place. And it's a place where God blesses. He brings a blessing of God. You need to be there. Second place I want you to see is the church. The church. I just want to give you a couple examples to go with me, all right? Take your Bible. Let's go over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. There's two examples of people, two examples of some things that happened at church. All right, Acts chapter 20. Would you look at verse 6? I love this story too because I've seen a lot of people fall asleep in church. All right? Now here you are, Acts chapter 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Hey, I just want you to know it's Sunday night. It's Sunday night. Notice that, first day of the week, verse 7. First day of the week. Somebody said, well, man, it's not scriptural to have Sunday morning, Sunday night. It obviously is. They had Sunday night service. Paul was there. He's preaching. He was a long time preaching. Eutychus fell asleep, fell out the window, and they took him up, thought, well, he's dead. But Paul, you know, through the grace of God and the power of God, God healed him, and he did it. You said, okay, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going right here. What if you'd have been a member at church at Troas, but you didn't show up that Sunday night? So the next day, Monday morning, you're walking along down the street. There's that person you went to church with, and they say, you ain't going to believe what happened last night. You should have been there. I'll tell you, that church member out of Troas didn't show up the rest of their life. They regretted not being there that night. Not to see what God did in a marvelous way. Hey, not to hear the message that Paul was preaching. They missed that. They missed the blessing of God. Why? Because it didn't show up at church. Man, I'm amazed at the people that don't come to church. I'm like my brother-in-law. We talk every now and then, and he says, he said, man, I just don't understand people that don't want to come to church on Sunday night. That they don't have anything else to do. And why not go to church? I mean, it's a good place to be. But why? There's a lot of people miss the blessing of God. Why? They're not where they ought to be. They're not where they ought to be. Did you ever stop and consider maybe the sermon you need and the help you need from God would be preached that night, but you weren't there to get it? It wasn't the preacher's fault. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It's your fault because you didn't come. You didn't show up. You said, well, I'll go back and rewind it and I'll watch it on YouTube. Not the same. Not even close, all right? You know, to hear about it is not as good as being there when it happens. Yeah, I don't know if there's any baseball fans here. Texas Rangers. I remember when they moved to Texas. They were playing out in the old Turnpike Stadium. I was there on I can't remember now, it was a Friday night or Saturday night. And they had this new fella playing catcher. Hall of Famer, Pudge Rodriguez. I was there that night. He hit his first home run. I didn't see it. So I left early. I was there, but I didn't see it. I'm outside the stadium, serious. I was leaving early. I don't remember now, getting ahead of traffic or something, or the game, you know, was over. I don't know if they were way ahead, way behind, or whatever. But I said, man, I'm leaving. And so I left. I was outside the stadium, and you heard this big roar. I was there when he hit the home run. In the parking lot. In the parking lot. Hey, what a shame. Miss that. You ever stop to think what you might miss when you miss the house of God? The blessing of God. I can't, in my mind's eye, I can see those, somebody in Troas. Hey, Fred, or I don't know, what would you call them in that day, you know, but, you know, said, hey, you weren't church. Yeah, man, I just didn't come. You ain't gonna believe what happened. You know, oh Miss So-and-so? No, it wasn't Miss So-and-so. You know Eutychus? Yeah, I know Eutychus. Hey, he was sitting in the window and Paul preached, and he preached a long time. Eutychus fell asleep. Well, that ain't nothing unusual. He falls asleep regularly. Yeah, but this time it's different. He fell asleep. He was sitting in the window. He fell out of the window and ate on the ground, three floors down, picked him up. He's dead. Well, man, when's the funeral going to be? He ain't dead no more. Amen. So run that by me one more time. I said, he's not dead anymore. He was temporarily out of it, all right? Man, I wish I'd have been there. Yeah. We miss it. Why? Because we're out of place. We're out of place. We're not in the house of God where we ought to be. Go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It's another Sunday. Church is meeting together, all right? Now, the poor folks that think the church started on the day of Pentecost, they're messed up. They miss this, but in John chapter 20, I want you to notice here, John chapter 20, down there in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. You ever see what, you get a pattern? Things happen on Sunday night. All right, here they are on Sunday night. It says when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. That's the church.
Amen.
Church met. All right, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not there. He skipped church Sunday night. He skipped church Sunday night. He missed that opportunity. He missed that opportunity of being in that first service when the Lord showed up after the resurrection.
Amen.
There he is. They're gathered together for fear of the Jews. They're a little bit upset. They're a whole lot upset. They're worried. They're shaken. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is in their midst. And he showed them his hands and his side. Bible said, then they were glad. I want to tell you what. Those 10 disciples were glad they came to church that night. They were glad they were where they ought to be. But there's Thomas. And to make it worse, when they told him about it, he said, I ain't going to believe it. I ain't believing it till I see it. Till I can put my finger. Now, I don't know if y'all paid any attention to that. When he said, unless I can see in his hands the print of nails and put my finger into the print of nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But you know what? He did. He didn't put his finger in. He didn't thrust his hand in. When he saw the Lord, man, when he saw the Lord, it was my Lord and my God. He didn't have to touch. But he missed that. He missed that. Took him days and days later before he saw the Lord. He missed them. He missed a blessing. Why? He wasn't where he ought to be. He wasn't where he ought to be. So, preacher, you're just preaching that because you're a preacher and you want people to come to church. I'm preaching that because you ought to be in the house of God, because God blesses folks and God pours out his blessing sometimes, and special things happen and amazing things take place. And what a sad thing if you're, well, I missed it. I missed it. Hey, we need to be careful. Yeah, you want the blessing of God? Be sure you're where you ought to be. And he said, where do I need to be? Number one, you need to be in the will of God. You need to be in God's will. The blessing of God is always to be found where God is and where God wants you to be. And that's in his will. We ought to have that desire to be in the center of his will. If I'll be where I belong, God's blessings will come my way. We miss things because we're not there. We're not where we ought to be. God sent Elijah. God sent him to that brook, Cherith. And if he hadn't went there, he'd have missed the food, because that's where the food was delivered. God sent him down to the widow Zarephath's house. Had he not gone there, he wouldn't have made it, because that's where God wanted him to be to supply his need. You need to be where God wants you to be. You need to be in his will if you want the blessing of God. The second thing you need is not just your presence, but you need your persistence. Your persistence. We see that over there in 2 Kings chapter 2, as we read through that over and over again, as Elijah said to Elisha, look, you wait here. You wait here. And Elisha kept saying, nope, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll not wait here. He said, I'm going to see something today I've never seen, nobody else has ever seen. I'm not going to miss it. I will be with you. He was persistent. He absolutely refused to be turned away. Hey, did you know he didn't get discouraged by the time it took? They were, by the way, they weren't in the taxi cab. They weren't in the high-speed railway, all right? They were walking. They were walking. And they went to Bethel. Nothing happened at Bethel. They went to Jericho. Nothing happened to Jericho. Then they went on, okay? They went on there to the Jordan. And so nothing happened. But he was persistent. He didn't say, okay, man, I'm tired of this. I thought sure the Lord would have already come and picked you up by now. And he hadn't done it. So, I mean, I'm out of here. That's what happens to a lot of us. We quit. We quit just before the blessing comes. We stop. We retire. We leave. We take off. But not old Elisha. Elisha stuck with Elijah until he received the blessing he was seeking. He said, I'm with you. I'll stay with you. If it had been somewhere else, it'd have been, you know, he'd have went somewhere else. Didn't matter. He took the time. He walked the miles. He did what he had. Why? He wanted to be there. Now, I believe so many of God's people lose out because they don't stay with it. They don't stay with it. They just don't keep going. They quit serving the Lord. They quit pleading. They quit praying. And what happens? Well, I tried, nothing happened. You quit. You quit too soon. Hey, the truth is, to quit anytime is too soon. Don't quit. Stay with it. Stay with it. You want God's blessing. There's something you want from God. Keep asking. Keep praying. Well, I've been praying and nothing's happened. How many times you ask? Twice. I'll never forget hearing an evangelist tell. He was preaching and he was telling a story. Man, I'm trying to get his name in my mind right this minute. He played a saw. Tommy Stone, thank you. Somebody brought it up. All right, good. Old Tommy Stone was an evangelist, and he told the story of how he came home from school one day, and he said he was hungry. He was really hungry. And he said, man, my parents said, no, we're not eating till supper. You just wait. And so he's out there talking to his sister. He said, I'm going to get a biscuit. There's a cold biscuit left over from breakfast. I'm going to get a biscuit. She said, no, you aren't. He said, yes, I am. You watch. He went in. He said he went in the house, and he said, Mama, could I have a biscuit? No, now you get out of the house. Mama, I'm starving to death. I'm starving to death. Please, would you just let me have that old cold biscuit? Now, I told you, get out of here. But to make a long story short, he kept after it. Now, he was careful in how he did it, all right? But he came out of the house with a biscuit. Told his sister, I told you I'd get that biscuit. Hey, listen, sometimes we want things from God. Don't quit asking. Don't quit asking. Stay with it. There's something there. Look, if you can pray in the will of God and seek God's blessing, if you can do that, don't quit asking. Just stay with it. Sometimes you have to be persistent. You have to keep going. You have to keep asking. You have to keep trying. Just stay with it. Stay with it. You want God's blessing? Stay after it. Listen, I visited a bus route. Bus route visiting can be discouraging. It can be discouraging. Knocking on doors can be discouraging. I'll be honest, I'll give you my favorite illustration. We were out here in Watauga, and I was out there knocking on doors, and I was by myself because I was the odd one. We had an uneven number of people, and it's better if you go two by two. People can take two, but three is a crowd, right? Two's company, three's a crowd. So I was the third, so I told them, I said, I don't mind, I'll go by myself. But I just want you to know that afternoon it was a little warm, and that evening knocking on those doors, I'll be honest with you, I got a little discouraged. I just got a little discouraged. And I thought, man, I didn't stop, get on my knees on the corner. But as I was walking to the next to his house, I said, now, Lord, would you please help me to find somebody? Just help me to find somebody I can get the gospel to. I mean, it'd been one of those days where people, don't have time, or get off my front porch, And I'll be honest, there's not much of that rudeness, but there's can be some of it. But it's just a day like that, and don't have time, can't talk to you. Yeah, I've been saved 34 times or something, you know. And so finally I was knocking, and I knocked on the next door. And I came up, and this man came, an old faithful preacher. I'm thinking, yeah, this ain't going nowhere. Said, I'll try, though. So I began to talk to him about the Lord, and ask him, look, I'd ask him where he went to church. And he said, well, I go for so-and-so, and yep, I go faithfully. And so the longer he talked, the more discouraged I got, okay? I thought, well, this ain't going nowhere. So finally, I came in and I said, well, look, man, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that. I perked up a little bit right there because he didn't say, and I'm not interested and I don't have time. And I asked him, well, would you let me take my Bible and show you how you can know? He said, I will, go ahead. To make a long story short, I stood on that porch that day and opened the scriptures and went through that. And that former Marine bowed his head and asked the Lord to save him. Asked the Lord to save him. Came to church. He and his wife came several times. Baptized him. Thank God I didn't quit. Thank God I didn't quit. You said, did you want to? Yes. Anybody says, well, I never want to quit, you're lying through your teeth. I believe everybody does sooner or later. I mean, that day I was ready to just say, I'm going to pack it in. I'm going to the house, you know. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to get saved. But I prayed that time and said, Lord, would you please, just please. And you kept going, knocked on that door. That man got saved. Boy, I'm glad it didn't quit. Our problem is we quit. We quit. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You want the blessing of God. You want to see those students you teach go somewhere and do. Don't quit. Stay with it. Stay with it. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. We have that tendency. Hey, your persistence goes a long way if you want the blessing of God. Your presence, your persistence, they're needed. Back there in 2 Kings chapter 2, won't you look at verse 14. Hey, here's Elijah. He's been taken up by the chariot. You know, the Bible said that chariot of fire, and it parted them both asunder. I don't know. Do you get a picture of that happening in your mind? I don't believe Elijah and Elisha were walking, you know, 10 feet apart. Usually we walk side by side, but that chariot came along, parted them asunder. I don't know if Elisha maybe got kind of bumped. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. Or maybe the chariot came along and just sucked Elijah in. I don't know. But something happened. But Elisha then picked up that mantle. In verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Hey, not only do we need your presence, your persistence, but boy, if you want God's blessing, you got to have God's power. God's power. That is where the whole answer rests, is in the power of God. It's the power of God that delivers the blessing of God. It is that power that delivers that blessing. You said, well, I got no control over that. Well, wait a minute. You do have some, all right? I believe it means you and I have to learn to leave things up to God. We've got to learn to leave things up to God. We can't control it, all right? We have to leave it up to Him. We've got to operate on faith. Lord, I'm trusting You, and I'll do it. And by faith, we'll see where it goes. And I'll just be it. God doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to help Him out. Sarah and Abraham tried that. What a mess. What a mess. Hey, you go over there. Rebecca tried it with Jacob. Didn't leave things. Man, you talk about messing up the home, messing up the family. They messed it up. Esau said, I'm going to kill Jacob. But Mama helped out. Hey, you know, we're to leave things in God's hand, let it be in His control, and we have to do it. But I'll say this, you'll never see God's power apart from God's presence. Here's the problem. He can't abide with our sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Folks, I'll tell you, it's unbelief that'll limit God's power and limit what God does. We've got to trust Him to do it, all right? We've got to trust Him. We've got to be where we need to be. We've got to stay with it. We've got to be persistent. But then we just got to trust Him. Just got to put our faith and our confidence in what He can do and His power alone. Just trust in Him. Lord, I've done my part. I've done my part. The truth of the matter is, Elisha had done his part. He was where he was supposed to be. He had been real persistent about it. He had stayed after it. And when Elijah was taken up, he picked up that mantle. Now, I don't believe the power was in the mantle. It was God's power. But God used that to test Elisha. But Elisha stepped up to the challenge and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He took that mantle, he smote the waters as he had seen Elijah do. And you know what? God was still there. God did what he had done before. And he showed Elisha, hey, I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'm still God. Look, do you understand that God of that Old Testament's our God? That's our God. That God that blessed those men still wants to bless us. I don't believe the Bible said he's no respecter of persons. Your name doesn't have to be Elijah or Elisha. You don't have to be an Old Testament prophet. But you do need to be where you belong. You need to be persistent. And you just need to put your trust and your faith in the power of God to do what he said he would do. You want God's blessing? If you do, simple. Meet the requirements. Meet the requirements. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us to see just some simple truth from the Word of God. Lord, help us to realize it's no accident we're in the house of God. And Lord, this is the place for God's people to be on Sunday night, on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. And Lord, if we're not where we ought to be, oftentimes we're going to miss the blessing of God. If we get out of the will of God, we'll miss the blessing of God. Lord, help us to be where we belong. The Lord, help us to go that next step. Help us to be persistent. Help us not to give up. Help us not to get discouraged and fall out or quit. But just stay with it. Keep asking. Keep pleading. Keep serving. And Lord, to leave it with you and to look for your power and look for you to do what only you can do. Lord, I pray you'd put a burden in us for the blessing of God. Help us to want it. Help us to seek it. And Lord, I know if we'll do it, you'll help us to see it. In Jesus' name.